So we've been going through renewal since the beginning of the year. We've been learning about renewal. We came to the ultimate climax with Easter of a complete renewal and understanding all the way from Christmas to Easter that Christmas brought us life and Easter brought us restoration and renewal. And so now, as we understand renewal, that we are renewed, we also need to understand restoration. We pray about it here all the time. 100% healing, 100% restoration. But what does restoration mean? Restoration means that something has to be fixed, something has to be broken, something has to be restored, something has to have some movement in it to change. We need restoration. I want to look at Peter. Peter, who's the guy who gets in the boat when nobody else would get in the boat. You know, Peter, when the waves are coming along and getting larger and everything, and he starts looking at the waves instead of looking at Jesus, he starts sinking, and Jesus picks him up and restores him out of the water. Peter, who is the one that says, "Hey, you know, Jesus, I'll never leave you, man. I'll never deny you. I'm right with you." And then denies him three times in shame. Peter, who is restored by Jesus personally on the shore after he is resurrected. Peter, who begins the church. Peter is on this rock. I will build my church. Peter. Peter, who is flip-flopping all over the place, isn't he? One minute he is the strongest guy in the camp, the next he is cowering over here, afraid of what they're going to do to him next. Peter, who stands in the square, this one just blows my mind. He is standing in the square, and he's talking to all the people, and he says to them, "You crucified Christ." Not a popular thing to say at that moment, is it? But he's bold. And what happens is even more remarkable because it cuts them to the heart. And they cry out, "What do we need to do to be saved?" And he gives the formula. We always want to know, what do we need to do to be saved? How do we know if we're saved? Repent. Change your mind about God. Change your heart about God. Change your heart about Jesus. Change your heart about the Holy Spirit. We need a lot of repenting in this world going on right now. Amen. Repent and be baptized. Have a water baptism that says that accept Jesus. Repent and accept Jesus and then be baptized and you will be given the Holy Spirit. So he gets all pieces of the puzzle all together right in a row. We have to repent. We have to change our heart, change our mind. We have to believe in Jesus. And then we have to be baptized. And then we have to just accept the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter. So we're going to go into 1 Peter and hear straight from Peter the gospel. 1 Peter. But before I do that, I want to back up for a second. I got a question. How do you show his glory? How do you show God's glory? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that in your life. How do you show God's glory in your everyday life? How do you show his glory in your witnessing? Can people tell who you are when they see you? Do they know there's something different about you? How do you show his glory? Do you shine? Let me tell you, I look out at you and I see you shine. I look at the prayer request. I look at you coming to the altar and standing in the gap, and I watch you shine. I listen to the prayer request for my neighbor, and you shine. I hear the stories of the disciple makers going and talking to other people, and you shine. I see you struggling sometimes with where you are in your own faith, and you shine, even in your struggles. Didn't Peter shine in his struggles? 1 Peter. Verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Exiled. Scattered. This is right after the resurrection. And this is right after the persecution, because they were all huddled down in Jerusalem, but now they are scattered to all kinds of different lands, and Peter is speaking to all of them. Peter is an apostle. He has walked with Jesus. Peter is an apostle. He has seen Jesus face to face. Peter is an apostle. He was in the water when Jesus literally pulls him out of the water with the storm raging. Peter is an apostle, and Peter is Jesus' friend. What I loved about Debbie coming up here for Kristen is because that was a friend. It's been really laid on my heart this week about needing friends. Having good friends, having best, having family as friends, having people around us when things go wrong, that somebody you can talk to, so you're not all isolated and all alone, somebody that you can lean on. And we all have one great, great, great best friend who's always here, and that's Jesus. Jesus was Peter's best friend. Jesus was Peter's Lord and Savior. Jesus was Peter's mentor. Jesus was Peter's teacher. Jesus and Peter were close. As a matter of fact, whenever Jesus wasn't around, I think Peter would feel like an emptiness, that he's missing his friend. And the beauty of it is that now, today, we have Jesus here inside of us. We don't have to look very far. He's right here. Verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. So Peter is talking to all these Christians and all these churches, and he's telling them to be brave, to be strong, and that they are special. So I have a disciple-making group. I asked them a question last Thursday. And I got to tell you, I wasn't exactly sure where we were going to go with our lesson that night. But then God just opened the door. And I started asking them, what does your church look like? They've been in lessons now for about 5 months. And they're getting ready to graduate, as many of you have already gone through the training. And I was asking them, so what are you going to do with this stuff? We've been meeting for 5 months, now what? I said, what does your church look like? Because I am commissioning them, each, all four of them, to go and launch a church. Not a church like this, but a church that is beginning with them, beginning with their light, and spreading that light to 3 others, 12 others, 24 others, I don't know how many. And so we got down to brass tacks of what will your church look like? What is the purpose of, if you could think right now of your ideal church, what would it look like? I love that. Lovan is pointing down right here. She says it's here. And I gotta agree with you. I've never seen a church like this one. I've never seen people like these, like you. You guys are special. I'm not kidding when I say you shine. I'm telling you, I see it all the time. You guys shine. You guys shine. I see Jan shining in an apartment building, talking to other people. I see LaWanda shining as she's talking to her neighbors. I see Marie talking and walking with her family. I see you guys shine. I see Connie praying for her son and now her son's friend and shining. Debbie pouring into the youth and shining. Judy just searching and finding and shining. Mary Lynn asking this last week, talking about this profound idea that the eclipse would show the glory of God and just shining so that when people saw it, it would shine and show the glory of God, which is what it did. Mike, as I said in the service, just this man who is so approachable. Come on in. Let's have a party. Come on to my house. What do you need? Shine. Roman, who just keeps this place going and is a pillar of this church, shining. David, walking in his group home and talking to different individuals and helping them see the Lord, shining. And Rachel just shines and glows all over the place. And then Julia is with this music, this magic that comes out of her, this praise of the Lord, and just shining. And Mary with her wisdom, shining. You guys shine. Who have been chosen. You are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. God knew it ahead of time. He knew you were going to shine. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that's where the shine comes from. The work of the Spirit is your shine. That Holy Spirit inside you is just bursting, coming out. But then it says to be obedient to Jesus Christ. So how are we obedient to Jesus? So if the parents here, if your kids are going to be obedient, what do they got to do?
Listen.
They got to listen. They got to listen first, right? That's probably the hardest part. Like after you said it 19 times, they finally understand what you finally did say. And then they have to understand what you said, right? So we have to listen to Jesus and we have to understand what he says, and then what? It's not just good enough to listen and to understand. What else we got to do? Follow through. We have to obey. We have to actually be, we have to actually do what we say we're going to do. We have to listen, we have to understand, and then we have to do. To be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Did you know you were sprinkled today? Do you feel it? Do you feel the little drops coming down on you? With his holy blood, he is sprinkling us. And what do you think that blood is doing? That blood is cleansing us. With one, just one little drop. Holy. Cleansed. Perfect. Am I holy and perfect? No. But with that one drop, I am. With that one drop, you are. We are sprinkled with his blood. And may grace and peace be upon you, because we need grace and peace if we're going to be able to do what we need to do. We need grace and peace, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I lose my peace. Do you ever lose your peace? It's a horrible feeling to lose your peace. And I heard every day. But you know what? Every day we regain it, don't we? We might lose it every day, but we are restored. See, that's what I mean about restoring. You have to lose it to gain it. Peter had to fall to get picked back up. And when he gets picked back up, he gets lifted off the ground, continuing. Praise. Well, I gotta tell you, I love that word. Praise. I love when we praise in here. It is amazing. I mean, I can come in here in the downest of moods. I can come in here with the weight of the world on my shoulders. I can come in here and having lost somebody. I can come in here and facing a medical crisis. Or I can come in here, and as Judy has so wisely put with me and has comforted me with the burdens of other people on me, I can come in here, but then we start to praise. It all changes. When we start praising, everything's okay. As a matter of fact, we start praising, I don't want it to end. I don't even need a message. I just want some more praise. That's what happened at Easter. I just wanted more praise. Praise be to God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. I highlighted living. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have a living hope. Our hope is alive. It's not static. It's moving. It's constant. It's changing. It's transforming. As a matter of fact, it's transforming us. It's a living hope. Jesus has risen from the dead, and He's taken us along with Him. Jesus picks Peter up out of the water, and He takes Peter with Him. We have a living hope. We need a living hope, not a static hope, not a dead hope, not a wishful hope. We need a living hope. We need something that we can grab onto when it gets tough. And we have that with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, continuing. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Well, that sounds pretty cool. I got me an inheritance up here. I'm going to be able to claim that inheritance. It's waiting for me. It's not going to perish. It's not going to fade. Nobody's going to steal it. What's my inheritance? Jesus. What's my inheritance? I don't have the answer for that right now. What's my, we talked about this in my disciple, actually we talked about it on Wednesday night, in our doing life together. That our crown, we talked about this before in here, our crown, that crown of righteousness that we get when we leave here, are going to be all the people that we help bring there. It's going to be all the souls that we helped. Not just that we had a confirmation that they accepted Jesus, but anybody that we planted, any watering that we did, any word that we gave, any movement, any of the thousand different things that has to happen to a different person's life for them to finally come back to the Lord, those are our crowns. That's our inheritance. Our inheritance isn't gold or silver that can perish. Our inheritance are souls, which are imperishable. And our soul, which is imperishable, merging all together with God in heaven. That's my idea of heaven. Continuing. Who through faith are shielded. Remember, we're talking about the Christians, we're talking about the churches, we're talking about all the people exiled and scattered all over the place, whose faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Shielded. Shielded means protected. We need some protection. We need protection every day, as we were just talking about, every day. We need protection. We need to be praying over our children every day. We need to be praying over our husband every day. We need to be praying over our church every day. We need to be asking for some protection, because we don't know what's coming next. As we look at these world events, we need some protection. As we look at what's going on right now with Iran and Israel, we need some protection. Some of that stress that we're talking about with Kristen is because their daughter is involved in that thing in Israel, and there's got to be a lot of stress going on in that household. I can't imagine being in Israel right now. I can't imagine being in Palestine right now. I can't imagine being in Ukraine right now. They need some protection. They need some shielding. And not just from physical harm. We need some protection from spiritual. We need to be fortified. We need to glow. Continuing. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer. We don't like that word. Grief in all kinds of trials. Wow, I think we can all relate to this too much. I think we can relate to the grief too much. As I talked to Alan today, he's trying to get past that grief, and it's going to take him a year, 2 years, 5 years. It's never really going to go away. It's just going to get a little easier. But we have to suffer through grief, and not just losing somebody. We have to suffer through grief of losing our health. We have to suffer through grief of losing our finances. We have to suffer through grief of losing some relationships. We have to suffer some grief with our children. We have to suffer some grief of other people. We have to do some trials here. We have to go through some stuff. I swear, life is going through stuff, isn't it? And just when, and then you get through the stuff, and you finally take a, whew, I got through that one. With God's help, I got through that one. And then there's another one. And then you get through that one. But what I want you to remember, what I want you to take hold of here, is the track record. Has God been faithful? Have you gotten through? So I often tell people like this timeline thing, okay? So if I could do a timeline, and I think I've shared this before, but if I could do a timeline and I could remember everything I ever did in my life, especially all the stupid stuff, and there's a lot of stupid stuff, let me tell you. And so like when I was a teen, I would drink and then I would drive, really stupid thing to do. And so I would be faced with a why of what's going to happen next. I'd have to go to court, and there'd be another why of what would happen out of that, what the judge would say, and then there'd be another why out of that. Well, he might take away my license, or he might let me drive. Might let me drive, but I'll be stupid again, and I'll do another stupid thing. And then lots of stupid things in there, I'm sorry, but it just was. So as much as I could remember, I could build this whole pattern. And I can watch how he got me out of one mess after another. Wow. But here's the beauty of the real thing, is that now we have a line which is today. And I get to project that tree into the future. What that means is no matter what I do, and if it's something that wasn't wise, he's got a plan. He already knows what the foreknowledge thing. He already knows what I'm going to do. He already knows what he's going to do about it. He already has that fork in the road, and he knows what's going to come out of that fork and the next fork and the next fork. And for me, I take great comfort in that. That means I can't screw this up too bad. That means he's got my back no matter what I do. That means he's got every situation in hand. He knows everything. When we're in our mother's womb, he knows everything that's going to happen to us. Wow. So trials, they may come, but he already knows the answer. And he already knows what we're going to do, and he already knows what he needs to do to help us out. That's pretty cool. Continuing. They have come so that the proven genuineness, being genuine. There's a saying out there today, you know, people want you to be genuine. They want you to be authentic. They want you to be real. The newest one is they want you to be 100%. Some people in my disciple-making group who are younger were telling me, you know, it's not about getting real or be real, it's about being 100%. But it's all means being genuine. They have come, these trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, I always take scripture, and I'm always trying to figure out, like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? That the genuineness of my faith is going to reveal Jesus. Okay, starting to make a little more sense. If I'm genuine, if I show my faith, if I shine, I honor Jesus, and Jesus is revealed. So when I shine, Jesus is revealed. That's pretty cool. But I have to be what? Genuine. I can't be fake. I can't put on a show. Anybody ever be fake? Put on a show? Show people what they want to see? I know I have. Sometimes when you're in awkward situations, you just want people, you don't want people to see your pain. You got to put on this face. We did a thing with the youth about your identity and about how sometimes, you know, people put on a face, and we all put on a face. But we need to have trusted friends who we can take the mask off and show who we really are, including all of our stress and our pain and our trials and our tributes, all of it. Continuing. This is where it gets good. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Oh, there's that shine. There's where the shine's coming from. That shine is coming from that we have this joy in us. And joy is not happiness. It doesn't mean that we always put on a smile, that we're fake, and that we show everybody everything's glorious at all times. Joy is all the sorrow and getting through the sorrow. Joy is all the happiness and giving the right praise to God for that. He allowed us that happiness. Joy is life. It's the ebbs and flows of all of it. And joy means that we look up. That's what joy is. And when we have that joy, people see it. Not because you're always happy. Most Christians I know are not walking around always happy. I know a few, but then they say, hey, pastor, can I talk to you a minute? And I find out what else is going on. And I actually have all so much more respect for them because it wasn't just an easy road. There was all this stuff that they had to overcome. And yet they kept this joy in them. And matter of fact, the more stuff people have to overcome, the more joy they got. Have you ever seen that? The more you have to go through, the more stronger you get, The more perseverance, that's what it says, that perseverance builds character, and that we have more character because we have to go through stuff. It's true. And the thing is everybody is going through stuff all the time. That's the great secret. That's the antithesis of Facebook, which makes it seem like everybody's having a grand old time out there. It's not true, and we all know it's not true. But on another level, we kind of think maybe that one is true. Until we find out it's not. But that joy is not based on circumstance. One last verse, Mary. You are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So when you put that together with the last verse, this joy that we have, this inexpressible glory that we show, this shine that we have, is because we have this salvation of our soul, because we have this connection to God. Because that's the only place that shine is coming from. The only place it's coming from is the Holy Spirit. The only place the Holy Spirit's coming from is Jesus. The only way you get Jesus is if you believe in Him. Even though you don't see Him, you believe in Him. And then you get this joy, which is actually the end result of having faith. Remember we talked about having faith and that you have to believe. First of all, you believe something. And this is what you think is going to, the way the world works or the way things should be. And then you act on that, so you have your habits. This is the way you act. And then eventually they become your values. They are who you are. But it begins with what you believe in. You believe in Jesus, you obey Jesus, and then you become like Jesus. Woo! So our assignment is simple. Express your joy, shine. Do what you're already doing. Find somebody who needs a little light today. Find somebody that is a little down and out today. Find somebody that needs a little bit of an encouraging word today. Find somebody that needs some hope today. And then just express your joy. Maybe it's not like we teach in a disciple making. It's just relating. Like, you know, I've been there. I've done that. I've crashed my cars and I've drove when I was drunk. I know what you're going through. I've been a drug addict, and I got over it, and now I know that you can have a better life. Hey, I had people mistreat me, and I've been there. And those are the people, those are the only people that can understand that person. And God has given us those trials so that we can relate to somebody else and we can show them that glory and that shine. Because that shine is Jesus who overcomes all. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you. Woo! We thank you that we can shine. We thank you for the joy. We thank you for that sorrow intermixed with it. We thank you for the ebbs and flow of life. It never gets boring. We thank you for that living hope that's always alive in us. We thank you that we can be used to help somebody else find you and to have hope once again. We thank you, dear Father God, for your shine in us. And we thank you for your Son who gave it all. Sacrificed everything so that we could shine. We thank you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'm no longer
So this song beckons me back to Christmas. It beckons me back to the manger. It beckons me back to the Lord Jesus as a baby. And what we said at Christmas is that was life. And not just life in Jesus, but life given to us. It beckons me back to Easter, that I am a child of God. The resurrection, that the old time is gone. He still raises his ugly head every now and then. But the new time has risen along with Jesus to be a child of God. I am a child of God. That is our restoration. That's what Peter was talking about. That's what he's trying to impart upon the churches. You are children of God. Go and shine. The world needs it. The world needs to see you shine. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you. We thank you despite the medical conditions, despite the financial situation, despite the relationships that go awry, despite all the world events, despite everything that you've given this amazing joy to us, this assurance, this inheritance, now and forever, that nobody can take, nobody can steal. So right now, Lord, we ask for that shielding, that protection of our joy. And we ask that we can shine so all may see your glory. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. Go and find somebody that needs a little light.